I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 26 and stand in honor of God's Word. And then while you're standing there and you're in Matthew 26, take your Bible also and turn to Luke 22. And we're going to look at that passage of Scripture in just a moment. When you preach through the Bible expositorily, in an expository way, kind of people know exactly what the background is or what's been taught so far. Just like in the book of Romans, it's kind of a succession of, hey, the depravity of man, the salvation of man, and here are the benefits of salvation. But when we're looking at different stories from the life of Peter, we're not doing that. But I want to give a little bit of a background, and this is found in this statement. Jesus Christ is getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary. He has met with his disciples, and they have had the last Passover, and then turns that into the first Lord's Supper. And we kind of looked at that a couple of months ago when we were at the Lord's table. And now the Bible says they sung a hymn and they go to the Mount of Olives. And so there's going to be a dissertation, a discussion between Jesus Christ and the disciples. And they're eventually going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, we know, and then the betrayal of Judas will take place. And we even looked at this passage of Scripture when we were in parables. And here was the parable: when the shepherd is smitten, the sheep will be scattered. And by the way, that's so true. All right. So with that in mind, I just want to give you that little background where we're at, and we're going to start reading in verse number 30 of Matthew chapter 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus, and by the way, this is where you could read John 15, 16, and 17. This would fit right in there. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now here's where we get our lesson, because it's always about Peter and the lessons that we can learn from the life of Peter. Peter answered and said unto the Lord Jesus Christ, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now I want to preach on the lesson of overconfidence. Lord, I'll never leave you. And even the arrogancy of being able to say, I know these other guys might happen, they might do that, but that would never happen to me. May God help us. If any in this room tonight, including this preacher, think overconfidently that we can have more confidence in our flesh, we better be careful tonight. Now notice it says what Jesus said after that. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Father, help us tonight that we might learn the lesson of overconfidence to an excess that we think that we would go against the Word of God. And really, that's what Peter did when he told the Lord that he would never deny him. But yet we know the story tonight. This is a familiar passage of Scripture for most people in church tonight. And we know that just as the Lord Jesus Christ said before the rooster crowed that morning, that there had been three times that Peter had denied the Lord. Now, Lord, we know also that Peter got right with God. He repented and he did great work for God. But Lord, I pray that we would not have overconfidence in the flesh. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Matthew Henry, who is could be one of the most quoted commentators. I mean, everybody has read Matthew Henry. He said this about this particular passage of Scripture. He said, there is a proneness in good men to be overconfident of their own strength and ability. Let me read that again. There is a proneness in good men to be overconfident of their own strength and stability. I said ability and stability. In other words, we think in our overconfident way, and here's what I want you to understand. These were good men. Peter was a good, we would say Peter was a good man. We would say the disciples were good men. Why would we say that? Well, they left everything to follow Jesus. And there was sacrifice in that. There was a sacrifice of their life and their businesses. And when you think about people like Matthew, who would have been very wealthy, even though it may not have been wealth gained correctly, as he was a tax collector and would have to overprice the Jewish people so that he might get his pay. And we know that Zacchaeus was also a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, but we also know that he was very wealthy because of his position as a tax collector. But we know that Zacchaeus got saved because he said, if I have wronged anybody, I'll pay them back fourfold. Now that's somebody that got saved by the grace of God. So I would say to you, and I would say tonight, that Peter was a good man. In fact, Peter is going to be, by John chapter number 20, after the resurrection, he is going to be given the pastorate of the church in Jerusalem, because Jesus Christ would ascend to the throne in heaven on the right hand of God, making intercession for us. So Peter was a good man, but Peter was overconfident of his strength and of his stability. He thought in his mind, Lord, I would never doubt you. I will die before I would deny thee. Lord, I would not deny you. And Jesus is trying to prepare these men for what's going to take place. He's already tried to get them in earlier conversations in the Gospels to understand that he is going to Jerusalem. He set his face toward Jerusalem, that he was going to be tried and crucified, and he told them all that. They never got that. They were still arguing about who was the greatest in the kingdom, right up until the time of the Garden of Gethsemane. And then when Judas came with all of the priests and the scribes and the army of people that came would take him to Caiaphas and then on later on before Pilate. But Jesus knows what's going to take place. Now, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So when he says something, he is saying the Word of God. And so I would say again what Matthew Henry said. There is a proneness in good men to be overconfident of their own strength and stability. Overconfidence simply means an excessive amount of confidence. If you look up that definition, that's exactly what it says. But in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, there's a great principle here when it talks about Paul saying, we of the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ. And then he has a little comma there and he says this, and have no confidence in the flesh. Of course, the context was that the Jewish people had a great confidence in who they were as God's people. But the principle is you can't rely in the flesh. You can't rely totally on other people. Now you can rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth is that our confidence is in God. Our confidence is in the Word of God. And Peter and the rest of the disciples, as I mentioned, were good men. And I believe this with all my heart. They had a desire to do right. I believe they had a desire to be loyal to Jesus Christ. And part of this lesson is that Peter wanted Jesus Christ to know, Lord, I'll be loyal to you. I will never deny you. And Jesus looked right at Peter and said, Peter, before, and I'm going to use a term with you, before the rooster crows in the morning, at the coming of the daylight in the morning, there will have been a time in this period, in this night, before the morning comes, basically, Peter, Before the morning light comes, you will deny me three times. And Peter continued to argue with Jesus and said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And then all of the other disciples, they just come in unison and go, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they agreed with what Peter had said. Now, Jesus declared to Peter he would fail, but Peter said, not me. He said, no, it cannot happen to me. You see, Lord, it might happen to one of these other fellows, but it cannot happen to me. Let me use another word, arrogancy. That's arrogant, to think it would never happen to us or it could never happen to us. And I will also say it like this, do not think you know more than God does. Peter thought he knew more than the Lord did. He thought he was, here's what he thought, as I keep going back to this statement of Matthew Henry. He thought he was too strong to fail. But none of us are. None of us are. He thought he was superior to other people. Now listen, I don't want to bust your bubble, but sometimes people sit in church and think, well, that'll never happen to me. I would never do that. I can't believe that happened. I can't believe they did that. Jesus Christ in the book of Mark was talking to his disciples, and he said they were arguing about washing hands. The Pharisees, why doesn't your disciples do like the rest of us, and we have the washing of the hands and all of that kind of stuff? And Jesus started talking about saying it's not what goes inside of a man, it's what comes out of a man. And then Jesus began to describe all of the wickedness of the world, and he basically said, this is not my message, this just popped in my head. He said this, all of those things are inside of all of us. But when they come out of us, that's when we're defiled. And he named about every sin in the world that you can name to let people know that in man is depravity, and in man resides sin. And my friend, listen to me tonight. If we do not stay close to the Word of God, and we do not stay close to the God of this universe, and the whole message, I could say it right now. If we do not stay humble before God, then we too can fall. We too can be like Peter, who said, that'll never happen to me. And he had to go out and weep bitterly, and he had to repent. But wouldn't it have been better if he had just said, oh Lord, help me, I don't want to do that. Oh God. No, the reason that it happened is because Peter said it can happen. Peter made this declaration in verse number 35, that though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. This is an attitude of collapse. This is an attitude of arrogancy. This is an attitude that many people have. Let us be reminded that he argued with Christ in an earlier thing about washing feet. And he still hadn't learned his lesson. Well, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And he said, Jesus Christ was showing, you know what Jesus Christ was showing when he washed the feet of his disciples? Let me just tell you, he was showing them humility. That is about as humble as you can get, to one man washing another man's feet. I mean, think about that, man. It's not an ordinance of the church, praise God for that. But it is a great sign of humility what the Lord did. And we know in those days they didn't have shoes like we did, and they didn't have concrete asphalt and sidewalks like we do. Praise God, I like concrete. I'm not a dirt person. I don't like my car riding out on the dirt. I don't like that. I like concrete. In fact, I saw the ruby red truck in Oklahoma that we sold to Brother Scopes, and I'm telling you, I about passed out. That truck was as nasty as a truck in Oklahoma, and I said, you have defiled. You have defiled Ruby in every way that is imaginable. I cannot come near you. Unclean, unclean. Because when I drove that truck, it never saw dirt, never saw anything but concrete, had a bed rug in the back of it, and it was all nasty. And I'm just like, help me, Lord. So we know that in those days, they dusty, and there would be servants that in a rich man's house, that when you knocked on the door, you would take your shoes off, and the servant would be there to wash your feet. Well, that's what a servant slave would do, would be the foot washer. That would be like one of the lowest jobs that there would be. But before people would come in, they would wash their feet. And Jesus went to wash the disciples' feet. And here is Peter in his arrogancy again saying, no, Lord. And then the Lord said, then I don't have any part with you. And then his attitude was then like, well, then just wash everything. That's arrogancy. He thought that Christ should have to not have to perform this task, yet Peter or the other disciples did not offer to wash his feet, really. Here's why I believe that there was not a lot of humility at that time. Jesus was showing humility. He was showing his disciples that they needed humility. Because, my friend, if we don't have humility, then arrogance can show up. Now, what I was going to say was, they were still trying to figure out who the greatest among them in the kingdom was. And these were some of the last things that were going on. And you remember that when I preached through the book of Mark, one of the very first messages that we preached was about that attitude of humility, and that a servant is supposed to be a servant, not somebody that thinks he's great in the kingdom. I'm pretty sure when we get to heaven and we find really who the greatest in the kingdom is going to be those servants that maybe nobody knew about, who were doing service for the Lord who nobody knew about. I think Peter thought he was the greatest. Now, when they were trying to argue over who the greatest was, I believe that you might agree with me that Peter thought he was. Why would we not think Peter thought that after what we just read in the two verses that we read? Peter said, Lord, I'm pretty awesome. In fact, let me tell you how great I am. I would never be offended by you. And I'm going to paraphrase. These knuckleheads here, yes, I know them. But me, you don't know how awesome I am. In fact, Lord, I'd go to the death with you. After all, remember who it was that whooped out the sword and cut the ear off of the... Yeah, it was Peter. And again, he had not learned humility. God said, Jesus, I put that up. That's not the way you deal with things. Is everybody with me tonight? I think Peter thought he probably was the greatest. After all, he was the spokesman for the rest. He was the one who was always going out front. He was the one, that walked on water. Nobody else did that. But Peter, basically, in the last hours before Jesus was led away to be crucified, made declarations that he couldn't hold up. That's overconfidence. If you're being overconfident, or let me just put it this way, if you're trying to be loyal and you're trying to be confident in something, if you're trying to be loyal, you don't have to go around and telling everybody. You just actually perform the doing of it. If you're trying to do something for the Lord, you don't have to go around telling everybody what you're doing. You need to just do it. People who are declining in their spirituality often go around telling other people how spiritual they are, when in fact they're not really that spiritual. When a church is declining spiritually, sometimes you'll hear people insisting they're always standing the way they stood. And listen, in some cases that's not true. Sometimes people say one thing and do another thing. If a person is always having to remind people that they're standing true, I am standing true, just stand true. Now go to Luke chapter 22. And I want you to see this. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31. Again, this is where the prediction of, this is the prediction, same context, but here's a little bit more information. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now always remember when you see two nouns together, that's an emphasis. Moses, Moses. Samuel, Samuel. It's almost the idea when your mom says your first name and your middle name. And that's always a bad thing, isn't it? Now, you don't ever want to be around your mother when she uses two personal names. When my mother was one of the only people that called me Jeffrey. Most people called me Jeff growing up, but my mom called me Jeffrey. But if she ever said Jeffrey Eugene, that's when that's it was over. I knew I was dead. I might as well just go ahead and lay down and die. And that was probably three times she used my middle name. Notice this, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But look at this, Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted. Now here's what that means. Peter, when you get right with God, when you get over your arrogancy, Peter, when you get over your overconfidence, when you get over thinking that in your flesh you can do something that you can't, when you begin to receive humility once again into your life, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And that's when he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I'm just saying to you, it's almost, now when you put that together, when Jesus Christ said, Peter, I'm praying for you because Satan desires to sift you as wheat. And then Peter said, here's the way I'm looking at it. It's like Peter saying, Lord, you don't need to pray for me. I'm okay. You need to pray for these other guys. Lord, I'd be willing to go to prison or to death with you. And yet Jesus said, before the rooster crows, Peter, three times you will deny me. Isn't it amazing that God knows so much and we know so little? But I'm telling you, we're in trouble if we don't really know ourselves. Well, let me just tell you about yourself. Let me be the good pastor. You're all out there a bunch of wicked sinners. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what family you're in. Inside of you is depravity. And if it comes out, it will defile you and many other people. Now listen, don't think, oh man, it's over with. No. You can live a life of humility. You can live a life saying, Lord, I need your help. Once again, Jesus knows everything. We're disrespectful to the Bible when we think that we can never sin or we can never fail. That's foolish. That's arrogant. We are not okay, and we can deny the Lord. We are sinners who can fail the Savior. Except for the grace of God, each one of us can have some kind of sin and be out of God's will if we think we're always okay and that nothing could ever happen to us. Listen to me. It happened to Peter. Here Jesus said that the devil is after Peter. Do you realize tonight that Satan realizes that his time is near and he is after us? He is after each one of us. But instead of heeding the warning, he became disrespectful. Let me give the same warning. Take heed lest ye fall. The devil still desires to destroy the testimony of a church and the testimony of individuals. And we need to take heart what Christ told Peter about Satan and his evil ways. And when you take this warning seriously that Jesus gave to Peter, you will be very careful regarding the places you go, the people you fellowship with, and the practices you pursue on a daily basis. Sometimes people are hanging around people that are not, that's not a good person to hang around. Somebody's gone away from the Word of God, gone away from the will of God, and you just go along with them and you don't think something bad's going to happen. You better be careful who your kids hang around. You better be careful who you let your children play with and fellowship with. Is everybody listening to what I'm saying? Every day, we need to pray for spiritual strength that our faith fail not. Well, be careful where you go and be careful who you fellowship with and be careful of the practices you pursue. When Jesus said, I pray for you that your faith fail not, you know me, I like those word studies. Fail not comes from one word in the Greek, and it's the same word that we get for the word that we get our word for eclipse. Everybody likes the eclipse of the sun. What does that mean? It means that something goes across and the moon gets dark. I guess it's two planets meeting together. Yeah, I'll talk about it later. But I do know the total eclipse of the sun or the moon, what that means is that there is it gets dark. Same idea. Fail not is the idea. Instead of our faith being bright and shining, the desire, the devil's desire is to cover it up, to eclipse it. Now look at verse number 31, Matthew 26, verse 31. He had this declaration, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee, I'll go to jail with thee, I'll go to death with thee. And verse 31 says, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now here's what Jesus said, all will be offended. Peter said, not me. Jesus said, all will be offended. Peter said, not me. Can I just say today, the day we live in, where we're at right now in our culture, it's not very popular to be a servant of Jesus Christ. It's even becoming politically incorrect to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And it was when Jesus spoke these words. It was more popular to be in the religious section of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Judaism as we know it. And listen, Judaism went to great lengths to try to stamp out Christianity. But Christianity is still going on today. There was pressure of the society. Religion came against the apostles, and the prediction of Jesus Christ was right. When religion showed up and they took Jesus into captivity, everybody fled. Now we know that Peter followed afar off and eventually went to the place where Caiaphas' house was. And there we can read the story about three times that Peter denied Jesus Christ three times that he knew him. And I want you to understand, few tests of discipleships are more severe than when the shepherd is smitten and Jesus Christ is rejected by society. And when the shepherd is smitten, the sheep scatter. And we preach from that in the parable series because that is a parable that was spoken. It's easy to profess Jesus Christ in the four walls of this church. It's easy to profess Jesus Christ in the four walls of this building, but what about in the society that we live in? At the workplace? Do you ever say, well, I'd never forsake the Lord, but on the job you fail to stand up for Him? I read an article, it's been many years ago, but I was reminded of it as I was putting this message together, of a college professor in a famous university who lost his job because he believed in creation. In a secular university, because he believed in creation. He was right. Amen. And he lost his job. Because society doesn't like creation. Because if you believe in creation, that means there has to be a God. And if there's a God, that means that you have to give an answer to somebody. And they don't want that. So they fired the professor. The arrogancy of Peter when he said in verse 33, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. He just thought he knew more than Jesus Christ. And listen to me, we are in trouble when we think we know them more than what the Bible says. He thought he was better than other people. Listen, you're not better than anybody else. He thought it could never happen to me. When we hear of someone falling into some kind of sin or some kind of thing that just absolutely blows the mind, we better not say, that could never happen to me. When Jesus told Peter he was praying for him, in his arrogance when he said, you don't need to pray for me because I'm okay. I need prayers. And you need prayers. And we need each other. I know people that have been lost. I told them I'd pray for them. And they sometimes would say, you don't need to pray for me. I'm okay. And I would say, no, I'm going to pray for you. Then I've told people, I'm going to pray that you don't sleep. And they say, You can't do that. Yes, I can. And I pray you don't sleep until you get saved. Today people look at the Bible, listen to this, today people look at the Bible as something that's impractical, antiquated, unreasonable. No, it's all true.
Amen.
Every bit of the Word of God is true.
Amen.
And however the day will come, as it did with Peter, when in arrogance and in boasting about His wisdom, we need to be humbled in the dust by God and His Word. The Creator knows more than the creation, and it would be a right thing for us to understand this. And Peter thought he was so strong to fail, and many people think the same thing. And just like that, in a moment, down the tubes. All right, so what's the answer, preacher? Listen, the answer is simple. Humble yourself before Almighty God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What is the answer to being overconfident? Humble yourself in the sight of God. Very simple, but much harder to do. Because after all, we think we have it together. We don't. May God help us tonight. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. May we be on our face before God tonight in a spirit of humility, saying, Lord, help me to serve You. Lord, help me to stay close to You. Lord, help me to stay in my prayer closet. Lord, help me to stay in the Word of God. Read my Bible every day. Lord, help my attitude. Help my spirit. A lot of times people run right off of the cliff because of their spirit, their attitude, their unwillingness to be humble before God. Always think